love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Well, forget the new Star Wars movie. I saw it last night, and it's not forgettable. I mean, it's something that you need to see. But, I mean, if you were on social media yesterday while Trump unveiled his new national security strategy, you would need a bowl of popcorn, and you'd have full entertainment. The best commentary went down on Twitter with two sides clearly drawn. The dark side of the force, the nationalists, Trump supporters, and the America First crowd. And the light side, the globalists, the Obama fanboys, and practically everyone in the media. Obama called his national security strategy in 2015 rules based on international order. Trump calls his American first. Okay. Globalists praised Obama for his rhetoric back then. They're eviscerating Trump today. Now, I'm about to say something that might be considered a little radical. Politicians sometimes say politician-type things. Yes. And have you noticed that national security strategy rarely changes? Remember how different things were going to be under Obama? We were in war at more places under Obama than I think we've ever been. Yeah, we didn't close Gitmo, even though he said he was going to. So they sometimes say things and then it doesn't happen. So let's stick with the Star Wars references just for a second. The Force isn't inherently bad, but people do occasionally do some pretty messed up stuff with it. Likewise, national security hasn't really changed in the last 50 years, but occasionally a president will do stupid things. Here's a tip for the media pundits freaking out over the words America and first. 9 times out of 10, political rhetoric from a president regarding national security doesn't mean squat. Obama stated that he wanted to disengage U.S. meddling in the world and concentrate on a rules-based international order. That's political speak mumbo-jumbo, and it didn't really stop him for continuing deployments in Afghanistan, helping cause the Libyan regime change, arming the opposition forces to cause regime change in Syria, arming ISIS. What else did we do? Oh, destabilize Egypt. He also said he wanted to reset relations with Russia. But he also supported a coup in the Ukraine. How can you describe any of those as rule-based international order? To the contrary, looks like he was breaking the rules and causing international disorder. Now let's look at Trump. He has spoken out against NATO. He's expressed an interest to be friends with Russia, kind of like Obama did. He threatened a trade war with half the planet. His tenure has been brief so far, but have his actions really matched that? Do they match the political speak? We've actually increased cooperation with NATO. Relations with Russia are at an all-time low, and no new trade wars have been kicked off. In terms of Russia, the Ruskies, as we used to like to call them, were mentioned 25 times in this report. That makes them only second to China, who was mentioned 33 times. And I'm sorry, China wasn't mentioned. China was mentioned. Russia was called a threat throughout the entire brief. He also called for cooperation with Europe and a balance of power in the Middle East. Man, that kind of sounds like a rules-based international order, doesn't it? But who am I to say I'm only telling the truth? After comparing actual action of both Obama and Trump, it seems a little less like the dark side. And the other doesn't seem like he followed the Jedi code quite like everybody said he was going to. National security is kind of like the force. It just is. U.S. interests rarely change. Just like every other country on the planet, it's guided by rules and geopolitics and banks. Regardless of what the current president says to appeal to his base, very few things change, unfortunately. Some leaders temporarily throw the force out of balance, like Iraq, or Libya, Ukraine, Egypt, Syria. But U.S. national security policy was the same yesterday. It's the same today. And my guess is it's going to be pretty much the same tomorrow.
It's Tuesday, December 19th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, yesterday, Joe Scarborough spent a good deal of his program blasting Fox News for stoking violence with coup talk. But he blamed Glenn Beck for turning the network in a darkly conspiratorial direction. The Morning Joe host called out the competition at the start of his program, accusing the network of pushing a constitutional crisis that could provoke violent reaction. And he later returned to the topic. It's very dangerous because blood will be on the hands of people that whip people up into a frenzy and lie. Oh, my. From you, Morning Joe? Really? But they're saying there's a coup going on right now, which is one of the most extraordinary, irresponsible things I have heard a major network do. That's what they've been saying all weekend. Yeah, it is. It is pretty irresponsible. He said these irresponsible reports, which the president helps legitimize, will almost certainly drive someone to take violent action. Oh, you mean like the violent action that the left has been taking for the last couple of years? Because you never seem to point that one out. It's weird. Anyway, he went on to say, I can't think of a more reckless, irresponsible thing I've ever heard in my life that even surpasses what Glenn Beck was saying. He said, back during my tenure at Fox News, 2009 to 11, Scarborough said, I was scaring viewers with bogus stories about the Obama administration. No, like your health care is going to go up. Like this is not going to work. That they're lying to you about the $2,500 family rebate. You know what I mean? Those kinds of lies.
Like when you said that if you wanted to keep your doctor, you wouldn't be able to keep them.
Yeah. Remember when I was scaring people with that stupid thing about the caliphate? Oh, my God.
And you were saying the IRS was going to target Tea Party groups? So stupid. Stupid.
Oh, man.
You were
he's
dumb
funny.
Back then.
Scarborough said he privately complained to Fox News executives that Beck, who hosted a program for the network from 2009 to 2011, was scaring viewers with bogus stories about the Obama administration. I specifically told them at the time Glenn Beck had crossed a line. I won't say the word I said. Stuff on television every day has made my mother and other people in my family calling me up, believing the government is coming to kill them. And I told them then and there, this leads to people getting killed. Well, Morning Joe, I've noticed that you haven't responded to my tweet from last night, so let me just go on the record here. Joe, I find this really fascinating that you went to Fox and complained. Was this before or after you came to my office? I've got pictures. You came to my office there on 6th Avenue to have lunch with me at your request. You remember that sitting in my office? It was very awkward. At least it was for me. And I felt really bad for you because all during the lunch, you kept telling me how stifled you were at MSNBC and how crazy things were and how difficult it was for you because you really were a conservative. You just had to say the things that MSNBC wanted you to say. Oh, man. I would have felt bad for you had I believed a single word of it at the time. But I just want to know, were you lying to me then, or are you lying to me now? Just like to know, Morning Joe. You don't recall that meeting, do you, Stu?
I mean, I wasn't in the meeting, but I do remember it occurring.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the reasons was because his mom was a big fan.
Yes.
A big fan of yours.
Yeah, big fan.
I think probably the genesis of this coming up is, you know, Scarborough is a little upset at the treatment he's had recently. I know Donald Trump was critical of him. Now, Donald Trump, of course, is the candidate that he verbally fondled for 6 months during the primary.
Yeah.
But now acts as if he didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And then it's interesting to see, because I guess, and if you, I don't know if we even talked about the story when it happened, but Trump had tweeted about something from his past that he, you know, obviously is uncomfortable talking about. And, you know, I think he's probably a little bit upset. He's been acting out, I guess, a lot at this sort of thing. And it's understandable. When the president of the United States says something like that about you, you're going to be defensive, right? So it's, I think he's just in a weird spot, and you probably can just forgive it, honestly. I mean, he's in a very strange, I think, place in his life, which has been evidenced by his actions over the past couple of years, really since the primary. It's been very strange, right? I mean, he's had, you know, the president has criticized his wife, or his soon-to-be wife. He's had to admit that his wife, I can't remember if they're actually married or not, but his, you know, Mika.
You mean the one that, I mean, because I'm trying to get the rules of NBC straight. Are you allowed to have a consensual relationship in the workplace or not? Because I don't.
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
But whatever that relationship was, they had to kind of admit to it because Trump sort of outed it. And then they've been back and forth at each other. And he kind of has to sort of pretend that he's ignoring it all the time.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're having lunch with him at the White House.
So
he's a very complex man because he seems to say one thing at lunches and another thing on television, which is a serious, serious character flaw. Right. But, you know,
because that's basically what he's admitting to with his little on-air rant, is he's saying he's having private meetings with the competition to try to influence. I mean, you know, it's very possible, to be honest about it, that he just had meetings with everyone in town and told everyone what they wanted to hear.
No,
right?
But,
so he told you what you wanted to hear, and he tells his audience what they want to hear, because now he's on MSNBC, so he's got to go that way.
Well, that's what he told me he was doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, he's got a complicated life, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to try
to balance that.
He has to try to act sort of like he's a conservative and then go on MSNBC. And seemingly the only thing he ever says is critical of conservative policies.
But then hang out with Donald Trump.
Yeah. Like,
it is hard.
That's a life. I don't think most of us could understand how to live it, you know, because it would be, you're so dishonest with almost everyone around you all the time that's just got to be a real stress on his life. And I think
so
probably
maybe I should apologize
I think it's best
to just leave it at that. Sponsor this half hour is Blinds.com. They make it so easy for you to update the look and feel of your home. When Tanya and I emailed Blinds.com to start the process, somebody replied back instantly. We were sitting on the couch. It was Saturday morning. I don't know. It was like 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, I can't decide anything on. I don't know what to do. There's too many options. It's like, you know, going to Blinds.com can be a little like going to the Cheesecake Factory. Can you narrow it down for me just a little bit? So I needed somebody to narrow it down. And I thought this was like the first Saturday that I had that it was open. And I thought there's just no way I'm going to be able to schedule something. And I said, honey, let's just write to them, you know, just email them. And it did from her account. And she doesn't have a glenbeck.com account. They had no idea who I was, you know, because she did all of it, because they wrote back immediately. And I was with her and I couldn't believe it. And I said, I don't want to say anything. I want you to handle this because I don't want any special treatment, etc. Let's just really see how they act. Unbelievable, unbelievable service. Plus, if you mismeasure or you pick the wrong color, they're going to remake your blinds for free. They're even going to send you free samples to make sure that everything looks as good in person as it does online. Every order gets free shipping. Their prices are the best. You can do it yourself. Their online help, I mean, we FaceTime with them immediately. It's really, truly unbelievable. And now, until Christmas Eve, you can enjoy great savings site-wide. plus a guaranteed 20% off when you go to Blinds.com and use the promo code Beck. 20% off, but you have to use the promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com, promo code Beck. Rules and restrictions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So I went to see Star Wars with last night with the family.
And obviously, if you've ever listened to this show before and you haven't seen Star Wars, I'm going to tell Glenn right now.
No, I'm going to ask you to tell me what I can say because I just told you.
You did.
Yeah. So what can I say? What part of that?
You could tell the part, your general impression of the movie.
My general impression of the movie is I was underwhelmed in the first half, and I really liked the second half or the last quarter. I mean, when the action really starts up, I just thought it was a little slow at the beginning and a little, you know.
Yeah.
A little Star Wars-y at the beginning, if you
which
will.
Which I wanted to, I actually, like, looking back at it, feel like I wanted it to be a little bit more Star Wars-y. Again, we're not giving anything away, no details, but it was, I don't know, there were several things that happened in it that made me just roll my eyes, and I hate that feeling. I don't want that. And that's what happened to a lot during the prequels. Like, you just feel like, oh gosh, why would...
Yeah.
That happened to me many times during that movie.
Me too.
Again, it's Star Wars, so I like it, you know.
I'm glad when I had the choice to see the Winston Churchill movie, Darkest Hour, that I saw that as opposed to The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Much better movie. Right. But I enjoyed Star Wars.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I feel like, you know, as an NFL fan, you know, sometimes you turn on Thursday Night Football and it's like it's a 28-17 game between two teams you don't really care about. It's still football. I still like football. I'm going to watch the NFL really when anything happens, even if it's a blowout. And this wasn't a blowout. It wasn't a 46-0 game that I was bored to tears with.
No,
it was competitive.
Yeah.
It's a competitive game, but in the end, is it a memorable one? To me, it's very much in the middle of that series. And, you know, is it better than the prequels? I would say yes.
Oh, yeah.
Is it better than...
The first three, no.
The first three, definitely not. So you're going to put it somewhere in the middle. To me, I think of the most recent three movies that have come out, being Force Awakens, Rogue One, and Last Jedi. Last Jedi is my least favorite of those. It's right now in my head. I got to see it again, but right now in my head, that's where I would place it.
I'd have to agree with you. I'd have to agree with you. It's my least favorite of the new three. But again, I agree with you. I'd have to see it again.
Yeah, I want
to
kind of
I really was careful to not be hyped. If I were hyped, do not listen to the hype of, it's the greatest one since Empire Strikes. It's not. It's good, but it's not.
That's okay.
And I stayed away from the hype, so I didn't go in with high expectations.
Right. I mean, like... And you have to look at these things in context. It's like climbing four flights of stairs is not a big deal, right? Climbing four flights of stairs in the middle of a fire to rescue an infant is a big deal. And that's what The Force Awakens was to me. It was rescuing the series. The series was about to die.
Yes.
It was taking on major smoke inhalation.
Yes, yes.
And The Force Awakens came in, climbed up the stairs, threw the baby over the shoulder, and got out of the building alive.
Yeah.
Where this one is like, okay, it's already been saved. We've seen two pretty solid movies, and this one
I don't want to get into. You know, we can talk about this after the first of the year, after more people have seen it. But I would say the last quarter of it, you know, the last 25%, last third, was really good. If the rest of it was as good as the last part, I think it would have been one of my favorites, but it took a while to get to that last part. Once the action really started and they started, you know, you know, the meat is there. I really liked it, and I thought it was a better restart than Force Awakens. That last quarter, it just wasn't enough to, you know, to be the whole Force Awakens grandeur.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, there was definitely parts of it I liked. I didn't dislike the movie, but I think there's a sort of standard Star Wars thing that happens throughout the entire series. And for one of the most legendary series of all time, the amount of times you say to yourself, well, why didn't they just do this?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just do that? It happened a lot in that one, too.
Yeah. I will tell you, though, I can do a Star Wars impression. The only one I can do.
Okay.
It's a trap!
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck program.
All righty. If you're doing your Christmas shopping for somebody who is a fan of the show, or you know somebody who kind of thinks like me, I know it's crazy. And Jill and Doug are friends of mine from Illinois. I am the only person in the world that has received from friends a painting of Lenin. From the Cold War. This was actually from a fighter pilot in the old Soviet Union back in the 70s. And they sent this to me, this painting that we have now in the studio. I opened it up and I was like, oh, this is great. My wife comes around. She's like, what is it? And I'm like, Lenin. She's like, you're not hanging that in the house.
Your initial instinct was to hang a picture of Vladimir Lenin in the house?
Yeah, because I think it's fun. I've got a lot of really weird...
You think it's fun?
Well, I've got a lot of weird things that kind of throw people off in my house, you know? I collect history. It's a cool piece of history.
It is a cool piece of history, I will say that.
Yes.
It's interesting because you've now decided to hang it in the studio.
Next to the Christmas tree.
Next to the Christmas tree and directly behind you in the camera view.
Yeah.
Which...
And so far, we have not heard anything...
Yeah, no, that's not true. We have heard things.
We have?
Yes. There have been many people who are like, is that a picture of Lenin behind Glenn? And the answer to that, of course, is
yes,
obviously.
Of course it is. Of course it is. It was a great Christmas present from a couple that I know that are great. Anyway, so if you know somebody, you know, that could relate, let me give you some recommendations of books that you could buy for them for Christmas. Or you could ask others to buy. These are the books that I have read in the last few months, probably since the summer. And so they're pretty current and they're just great. Defying Hitler is a book that was written in 1939. It went unpublished until 2000. It is was written by one of a guy who wanted to write this as a warning to the West, and finally escaped from Nazi Germany to America, became a big scholar here, wrote some of the definitive stuff about Hitler. This was not published because he saw it as a warning to the rest of the world. I'm telling you, it is the best. He wrote this and tried to explain what was happening in Nazi Germany and what the seeds were that were planted beginning in 1915. And it is the most eye-opening book on the Third Reich and has real echoes in today's world. Defying Hitler is one of them. Homo Deus, A Brief History of Tomorrow. This is by Yuval Harari. This is a really important book. It's hard. He is, if I have my books right, he is I think he's an atheist. And so he has a problem with religion, if I'm not mistaken. But it's a really, really important thing as we look towards the future and our quest to upgrade humans into gods. Really good. Tulip Mania, Money, Honor, Knowledge in the Dutch Golden Age. You know, somebody who's like, we ought to mortgage our house for Bitcoin. Give them Tulip Mania.
This is, so far, there hasn't been a lot of uplift. So we've got a Hitler book. We've got people losing their entire fortunes on tulips.
Yeah.
We've got the future, we're all going to die.
No, not really.
Mostly we're going to die.
We're going to mostly die
in the future.
Okay. So, but it gets better. We have Departure, This is from A.G. Riddle. It's a novel. It's a futuristic paradox about quantum computing, and it's a good movie. Or a good book. Pandemic, the series, is really good. The Extinction Files, also from A.G. Riddle. It might be a little dark.
A little bit. We still have not found any, light yet.
Okay, how about this one? Mm-hmm. The Singularity is Near.
Okay, no.
It's Ray Kurzweil.
He's just looking at the same problem in a positive way.
That's a really good one. That's a good one. Origin, a novel by Dan Brown. Really good.
A lot of people don't like Dan Brown, I feel like, because especially, obviously, Catholics are not necessarily fans of Dan from his previous works.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with that, though, right? This is more about technology.
This is more about technology. It's about a guy who's like Elon Musk who says, I'm going to change everything, and I'm going to tell you what our origin of the species was, and, it's going to wipe religion out entirely.
And Dan doesn't seem to like religion all that much.
He really doesn't. But it's a really good read. It's fun. He doesn't wipe out religion, surprisingly. But it's like a Elon Musk. The way he gets there is really good.
And obviously there are villains in every book, right? So you can't just judge it by the fact that the villain is bad. The villain's always bad.
Now, the villain here is the most unique villain I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Robert Harris, who's one of my favorite writers, he wrote Fatherland years ago. Can't get that on Kindle. I don't know why. It's a great book. He wrote a book called Conclave, and it is a novel. It is really, 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 really good. It's about the politics behind a conclave and how the Pope that just died was trying to shape the next vote for the next Pope. It's really a great one. Brett King, Augmented, Life in the Smart Lane. This one, if you want to know what the most positive things about the future are, what makes me believe we're going to cure cancer by 2030, 2035, but also makes me, keeps me awake at night. Augmented has a little bit of both. It gives you the full argument on both sides, and it is both inspiring and terrifying. It also goes into open up your mind on education, not only for yourself, but your children. I didn't know how is college going to fit in? What should they be studying? What should we be doing right now with our kids? They're going through an education, and I know the education process is not preparing them for the world of tomorrow. So what should we do? He addresses that in this book, and it's really, really good, and has changed the way that Tanya and I have talked about education in our house. That, again, is Augmented, Life in the Smart Lane. Collusion. This is all about Russia. He has the take that Donald Trump is guilty of collusion. That's not what I read in the book. What I found really, really fascinating is how powerful Russia is and what they are doing. And it's not just Donald Trump. It's everybody in Washington.
Because, I think summary-wise, because we talked to him, the author of that book, and he really talked more about just how Russia was not only going after Donald Trump, but going after both sides. They were trying to cause chaos and really change the direction of global politics. It's certainly, Donald Trump is going to be a big feature in any story written about the 2016 election.
Yeah.
But, it really is about everybody and how Russia is trying to do this to everyone all the time.
Yeah. It would have been Hillary Clinton. In fact, they did do it to Hillary Clinton as well. Artemis is a new novel out, and it is from the author of The Martian. This is definitely going to be a movie. It is it's a heist story, if you will. It's Ocean's 11, but set on the moon. and it's really good. Leonardo da Vinci is a new biography of Leonardo, and fascinating, really fascinating. The Fear Index is one of the best novels that I've read this year. Again, it was from Robert Harris. Really good. You can find that. Fear Index is a futuristic novel, but is set on Wall Street, and it is a futuristic crime that you really need to see.
By the way, we're going through Glenn's book list, which is available at glennbeck.com. You can go through it and buy people Christmas presents. It's a good place to start if you've done as much shopping as I have.
If you're kind of interested in the future, but not as deeply as I, and you're like, Glenn, why are you? Read The Fear Index by Robert Harris. Lessons of History. This is a paperback that you could get. I don't know how long it's been out, but I enjoyed this book because it's all in chapters.
It's a really unique thing for a book.
No,
wow.
I mean, each subject is just a chapter. So it's like the history and socialism. And it just distills things really, really well. Dangerous Brains. I'm trying to remember which one this was. I know I really like Dangerous Brains. I just can't remember which one this was now. I can't remember. You just have to read the summary of it. But I know I really, really liked Dangerous Brains.
That is a hell of a review of a book.
I just read them so fast.
You really do. I mean, for people who say that you're just some crazy conspiracy theorist who don't, you know, I mean, you are constantly reading. It's to the point of, it's honestly sickening. Because usually what happens is then you just assign the books to us.
I kind of given up on that. I mean, how many of these did I tell you to read?
Not that many, actually. Yeah. You're right. But I mean, we've talked to so many of the authors of them now, which is kind of
I really, really want to interview Robert Harris. I really want to. He's one of my favorite authors right now. And he's got a new book coming out. And I really want to interview him.
Now, if someone buys a copy of 12, 14 books, then there will be 14 books sold this year, which is that would set a new high for the past 5 years.
By the way, people
still do read books, don't they?
Yeah,
that's good.
They do.
Not a lot. Not like they used to.
No.
I will say, not like they used to.
No, that's true.
But it is...
We sold 2 million copies of
Common Sense, probably?
Common Sense.
Yeah.
2 million copies of that. To be a million seller now is impossible. Nobody is a million seller.
It's like, if you look at like Taylor Swift. Like Taylor Swift is probably... arguably the biggest star right out there as far as album sales go. There's a couple of others that Adele competes with her. There's a couple of others, but I mean it's pretty much Taylor Swift's world. But you look at her numbers compared to mediocre artists from the 90s, and she's not all that impressive. I mean, what she's doing now is more impressive than
anybody else. She's
anybody.
The king of the She's the king of the hill. But I mean, you're looking at now. You know, something was amazing when it sold a million copies. 2 million copies was way out of the way out of the park. And this is 6, 7, 8 years ago, way out of the park. Now you're out of the park at 500,000 copies. I mean, it's not good for the book world.
She sold Taylor Swift sold 1.05 million copies in the first 4 days. Okay, that was already enough to be number one for the year. It came out in November.
Wow,
that's how bad the record industry is right now.
Wow.
Now touring is great, and it's still a big business. It's not that there's nothing to do with music.
No, it's just different.
It's just totally different. People don't buy them like that anymore.
And it's a different world. I mean, I was at the movie theater last night, and I watched a trailer for a new movie with Will Smith, and it's only on Netflix, and it's coming out in December. I mean, it's just The technology is just changing, and we have changed so dramatically. Stu and I were talking about this yesterday, that remember when all these people who were, net neutrality people were saying, oh, this is going to be a dark ages for television. This is going to be so bad for television. This is the golden age of television and entertainment. Look at the quality of what you can watch. I can't even watch network television anymore. It's so bad. It's just so cheesy and so processed and homogenized. You go and you're watching stuff now on Netflix or Amazon, and it is just brilliant, brilliant stuff.
So glenbeck.com is the place to go to get the list of Glenn's books for you to buy for holiday season. Also, tweeted it at World of Stew. We'll tweet it as well at Glenn Beck.
Yep. And you can just, it's a link there on each book. So if you like that book, it'll just take you right to Amazon. You can just purchase it there. Holidays are already here. We are running around trying to get everything done. Here's an easy gift. It is Say Anything. It's a game. It's available at Target. It is something, I don't know about you, but if you've got somebody coming to your house, you're like, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to say to them. I can't talk to them anymore. Play a game. Say anything. You'll gather around the table and you'll start talking and you'll start laughing. And it's not about politics at all. It takes 30 minutes to play. So it's not one of those things like Monopoly where you're like, oh, God, just kill me. Or somebody, I hate this. Oh, I hate when you play a game. And so he's like, just roll for me. I'll be in a minute. No. This is a 30-minute game. Everybody's sitting around the table. Everybody's having fun. It's not just for parents, not just for kids. It's for everybody. It's available now at Target. Put it under your Christmas tree. Put it in your game closet for the holidays. It is Say Anything. Available now at Target.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Hello and welcome to the program. So just an alert on Bitcoin. Did you see the story I sent you, Stu, about the guy who started Bitcoin.com and just got out of all of Bitcoin?
Yeah, I did.
That's kind of weird.
It is a little bit. His point is that it doesn't operate as well as Bitcoin Cash does, which is another version of this. Mm-hmm. Not bore everybody who doesn't care about it.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, part of it being difficult and having all these issues is part of the scarcity of Bitcoin, yes, which is why it's so expensive. I mean, it's kind of the point of it in a way, the fact that it doesn't operate particularly efficiently.
At the same time, another analyst said it's going to be between $300,000 and $400,000 by the end of next year. And I kind of, if I can believe this one, this also comes from CNBC. And this is that the global central banks are going to start holding digital currencies next year. If they buy Bitcoin, that's a lot of money going in.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
So the United States is the only country in the world that is willing to stand up for the state of Israel. Good. Good. Almost 2 weeks ago, President Trump announced that the U.S. would finally follow its 22-year-old law by relocating the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Israel's actual capital city, Jerusalem. The announcement brought round-the-clock anger from Middle Eastern Muslim countries and rock-throwing by Palestinians. Shamefully, not a single American ally has had the backbone to stand with the U.S., or more importantly, stand with Israel. The next move by the angry Arab world was a UN resolution initiated by Egypt, which did not technically name the U.S. or Trump, but expressed a, quote, deep regret at recent decisions concerning the status of Jerusalem, end quote. The resolution called for these decisions to be null and void and receive approval from the rest of the 15-member Security Council. It also called on all nations not to move their embassies to Jerusalem. For all of the world's talk about diversity and inclusion and rooting out all kinds of isms, there's one form of discrimination that still gets a unanimous UN approval, and that is anti-Semitism. It is ironic for a peaceful international organization that was born out of the ashes of World War II and who approved the state of Israel to play these games and to be such a force in anti-Semitism. So far, the Trump administration is standing firm. I hope, please, Mr. President, begin building the embassy, or it will never be built. Please. Yesterday, for the first time since 2011, the U.S. used its veto power to veto the Security Council resolution. The U.S. has veto power as one of the five permanent members on the Security Council. Good. The U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, who I think is a superstar, said the U.S. used the veto to defend American sovereignty and its commitment to the Middle East peace process. She called the resolution an insult, adding that the rest of the Security Council should be embarrassed for supporting it. Vice President Mike Pence was scheduled to travel to the Middle East today, but he has delayed his trip until January, in part because of the Arab temper tantrum that is going on. In a shocking development that no one saw coming, Palestinian officials have canceled their plans to meet with Mike Pence. Is it just me, or do moves like that from the Palestinians fail to indicate much interest in an actual peace process? Or is it all of the other times they have rejected peace deals? President Trump has not had a good year in some ways domestically. But he deserves credit for sticking by Israel, standing up and doing what no other president has been willing to do since Truman. Sticking by Israel when the rest of the world seems to stand against them.
It's Tuesday, December 19th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So we found something, a student news video from Cooper City High School in Florida, and it has been posted on GoFundMe. Is it GoFundMe? Yeah, I think it is. And I just want to read part of this. Jojo Hernandez, Cooper City High School student. When I was born, my mouth and my entire face had not really closed up, so I had a gap from my upper lip to my nose and from the side to my lower right eye all the way up to my lower left eye. I got really lucky and I was able to keep my eye because most people lose theirs. One day I came home after a sleepover and all my stuff was packed up. It was 2 weeks before I turned 18, and my mom basically told me to have a great life, and she shut the door behind me. I am currently living five doors down from my parents, paying $200 a month worth in rent and sleeping on what basically was my grandfather's bed. I'm trying to find jobs so I can support myself now that I don't have parents financially anymore, and people do stereotype me and define me by my face, even before they ask any interview questions. They usually say the position is full or not interested. I have applied to easily over 45 locations, and I was lucky to be able to get one job at Walgreens, and I'm trying to pick up a second one just so that I have somewhere to go at the end of the day and pay my rent and pay my bills and my phone bills. I'm kind of alone now when I leave campus. I've tried to make campus my home. I have a bed, but a bed doesn't make a home. The people you care about do, and they're all here at school. We saw this video of this girl, and I mean, to think that people could go in, you could go in for a job interview, and they would reject you because of your face is so, I don't know, Phantom of the Opera, 1800s, that it doesn't even seem possible. We've done our homework on this girl, and she is a hardworking girl who has really pulled herself up by her bootstraps. The woman that she is living with, or the family she's living with, is Tita Courtrunny. And Tita is with us now to tell us a little bit about JoJo. Hello, Tita Karani.
Hi there.
How are you, Tita?
I'm good. How are you, Glenn?
Good. Can you tell me a little bit about JoJo?
Sure. I've known JoJo since he was in elementary school. My son goes to the same high school as she does. They're a year apart. He's a junior. She's a senior. And like I said, I've known JoJo all of her life. She came to me one morning crying that she had been basically kicked out of her house. So she went to a friend's house, and she had to evacuate because her friend lived in a mobile home. They had to evacuate for the last hurricane we had, Irma. So they went to the Carolinas, and when she came back to live with me. So, I mean, JoJo's life has not been easy. She's an amazing, amazing girl. She's determined. She's smart. She's sweet. She has many reasons to give up, but she hasn't. She's taken the right path.
Tell me about her schooling. Good school. I mean, you know, worked hard in school, good grades.
She's an A student, Glenn. She's an A student. She's a national silver medalist and poetry with the Scholastic Arts and Writing Association. She's in theater now. She loves the theater. She wants to go into the arts, either theater or writing, in her life. And I've told her also maybe she can be an advocate for Operation Smile, yeah. The organization. Mm-hmm.
So
she was really excited about that.
Tell me about her face, because we saw pictures of her, and she doesn't look horrible by any stretch.
No, well, she's had multiple surgeries.
So is it true that she goes in and she can't? People will dismiss her before they even ask her an interview question because of her face?
Absolutely, absolutely. We live in a small community in Cooper City, and she went in the shopping mall stretches, and she applied everywhere. And the only one that replied was Walgreens. I'm a test for that because I drove her there. To every job application, and she takes the bus. And yes, she's always been like that. She and besides the physical pain that she's been through, the multiple surgeries, the emotional pain, she's because of being different. She's been bullied through life in school. You know, kids could be cruel.
And her parents, what is happening with her parents? Why? I just want to make sure she's not like and, you know, we've all gone through this, a troubled teen that, you know, her parents were like, enough is enough. Or is it something else?
No, I have a teen, and a teenager is a teenager. But her parents were a little strict. They were good parents. They supported her through, you know, through the surgeries. And she got a scholarship in soccer to a private school, high school. And she was bullied so much they had to pull her out. Her parents supported her to a certain point, and they're, like I said, they're very, very strict. So I think they were fed up, but fed up with what? She was just being a teenager. She went to sleep at a girlfriend's house, and when she came back, she's not a bad kid. She's a really good kid. And I have no idea what made them snap and ask her to leave. She had boxes packed up in front of the door waiting for her to leave. And, yes, one of the parents of the girls that goes to school with her, she doesn't even know this girl very well, but the parent, the father, walks into Walgreens and saw her story in the video and just opened up this GoFundMe page. And the outpouring of the community has just been amazing, amazing.
So she didn't start this. This is just somebody who was at Walgreens, heard the story, and opened it for her.
That's correct. She got a call, I think it was last Saturday, about 11 o'clock in the morning, and this gentleman, Steve Baker, who started the page, asked her if it was okay, and she just started to cry. I mean, no, she did not start this. She didn't go to school yesterday. She's been overwhelmed. She was afraid of what was going to happen. But she had to go today because she has midterms. But
we just heard about it, and you know, we checked the story out yesterday to make sure, and I wanted to talk to you myself this morning on the air because it breaks my heart. You know, this audience loves to help people who are actually busting their butt. And just needs, you know, a little bit of a hand, not a handout, but a hand up. And so we wanted to share this story with our audience today.
Yeah, we are tweeting it at Glenn Beck at World of Stew. It's GoFundMe.com/JoJo-Hernandez. But you can get the link at our Twitter pages as well. And this is sort of something that the audience has done so many times for people. in which they decide to just change their life in an hour. You know, there's so many people and so many good people, especially around the holidays in this audience. We've seen this happen so many times with people who are in need, and their lives can be changed in just a couple of minutes by a few people. It's amazing.
I just am. I mean, I've always, you know, two of my favorite stories forever have been Elephant Man and Phantom of the Opera, because I just can't imagine a time like that. And here we have somebody who has minor problems with their face. I mean, she does not. I'm looking at the picture of her. If this is what she looks like, I can't imagine somebody having a problem with this. But apparently in this day and age, we still do. And I sure would like to send the message to JoJo that, no, it's just stupid people. The majority of us are out here rooting for you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Besides her physical and emotional scars, she's just an amazing kid. She's, like I said, she's determined. She focuses on her theater and her poetry. I'm honored to have her living with us.
Tita, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. God bless you. This is one of those things where we can change somebody's life. How much money do they have there in the GoFundMe page?
They're looking to try to get $10,000.
And how much do they have so far?
I'm having computer issues here.
So they're looking for $10,000. We could do that in a heartbeat. And all she really wants, what she really needs is somebody will give her a real job interview and help her find a job. If you know, you can call our office here, you can call our studio line, and we'll try to put you in touch with somebody in her life. If you have a job or you want to interview her, I just think this is just criminal what's happening. But I don't want the law involved. I just want us to heal our own hearts and to heal her heart. So go to GoFundMe.com/JoJo-Hernandez Hernandez and donate, even if it's $5.
Yeah, easiest thing to do is go to our Twitter accounts at World of Stew or at Glenn Beck, and we'll have it tweeted for you, so you can just click right on the link.
Okay, you're not going to be sitting at somebody's table because, I don't know, it's this year you're supposed to be at somebody else's table, you're switching off, or, you know, somebody is gone for the in-laws or whatever it is. This holiday season, if you're not going to be around, show somebody exactly how you feel about them. Send them some Pro Flowers, a bouquet or a festive plant from Pro Flowers is perfect, because it's something alive and something they can put there at the table. They also have the candy cane roses, which is a huge seller for them every holiday. And you can get it for December birthday or anniversary. I think it's nice to send it to the in-laws and everybody else just to let them know that you are there. You can also go with their classic mini Christmas tree that comes with lights and ornaments. But no matter what you choose, you're going to get 20% off of any Pro Flowers bouquet or plant of $29 or more. Pro Flowers bouquets, they're guaranteed to stay fresh. You control the delivery date. Pro Flowers, they give you more bloom for your buck. Big, beautiful flowers, more stems for your money. It's Pro Flowers this holiday season. Get 20% off of all bouquets of $29 or more. Go to proflowers.com. Use the promo code Glenn at checkout. It's proflowers.com, promo code Glenn.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So glad you are here. Tomorrow is the final episode of the season for radio. We're going on vacation for the holidays, and it is our holiday special. You don't want to miss tomorrow. A lot of great stuff planned for you, including year-end retrospective, if you will. We've been doing this retrospective, we'll be doing it on TV all this week, of the biggest stories of 2017 and what happened in the last year and what it all means. And yesterday, what were we doing yesterday? Politics? biggest stories of 2017 in politics, Stu. And it was a little overwhelming.
Totally. I mean, each show starts with a little montage of things that happened during the year. And you feel like after watching it, it's three or four shows worth just to go through.
Yeah.
Just a little clips. You know what?
Let's play that montage at the bottom of the hour. Let's play that
TV. The politics one?
Yeah, the politics montage from TV last night. Mm-hmm. It really was. We didn't see it. It was done by the edit team. And we're getting ready to go on the show last night. And we're playing it. And we all look at it. We're like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I forgot about that. Oh, my gosh. It's overwhelming how fast things are going. Tonight is culture, I think. Tonight is culture. I can't remember. We're also going to be doing one on high tech. I think that's slated for Thursday. It's high tech. Mm-hmm. All of the changes that have happened. And when you really see how fast things are moving, times have changed. This is not the same world we were in 2008 or 2001. It is a different world.
I mean, you talk about one change. I remember when we were in Florida doing the show WFLA in Tampa, the mothership. And we were... By the way,
hello to everybody, WFLA. Thank you for listening to us all these years. And Schlub Club is coming up in just a minute.
When we had to raise money, what did we do? We had to ask people to come to the radio station to bring money. Yeah. You remember doing this?
Yes. Because the other option was to mail it to us.
Yeah, was to mail it to us. Yeah. That was the choice. Now,
2001.
There are multiple competitors to GoFundMe and YouCaring and all of the different sites where you can raise money. We just talked about someone just a few moments ago, JoJo Hernandez, had a $10,000 goal. And as of right now, it's only been a few minutes, already at $11,690, already surpassed the goal that they wanted to have for JoJo. And I think
this audience is the best.
And knowing this audience, they will it will go far beyond the goal.
What a great message to send to a girl who has her whole life been bullied and made fun of because of her face, and doing interview after interview after interview. And she said sometimes they don't even ask her any questions on the interview. They see her and they're like, no, the position's full. No, thanks. We're good. Imagine that.
No, it's ridiculous. Especially
how hard would it be to keep your view that humanity is a good group? That'd be really hard to stay optimistic. And she apparently is. Works hard, straight A student, just needs a hand up, not a handout. And you can go to the GoFundMe page. And change her life this Christmas. Change her life.
At World of Stew, at Glenn Beck. We have it tweeted there. It's GoFundMe.com/JoJo-Hernandez.
Also be at GlennBeck.com in a few minutes.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
When you stop and actually review the year, just in politics, it's amazing how much has taken place in just 2017.
This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period.
Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that.
Looked like 1.5 million people. Whatever it was, but it went all the way back to the Washington Monument.
We begin with a major shakeup inside the Trump White House. National Security Advisor Michael Flynn forced to resign, an erosion of trust.
Casually, General Michael Flynn was on the job just 24 days.
Republicans deal another blow in their effort to repeal Obamacare.
We're going to repeal and replace Obamacare, and we're going to do it with a three-pronged approach.
We never ran on a replacement of Obamacare life.
Today, I am keeping another promise to the American people by nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch.
Nuclear option, the so-called nuclear option, is going to be imposed.
The President of the United States has terminated the director of the FBI.
I want, very simply, a great FBI director. He's a showboat. He's a grandstander.
White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer resigned from his post on Friday.
The type of brain tumor removed from Senator John McCain last week is known as glioblastoma.
Thank you, fellow senators. Mr. President, I yield.
Died in Charlottesville, Virginia, in clashes between white supremacists and anti-fascist groups.
They thought we wouldn't stand up
guess what? We're standing up for our rights. We're proud to be white.
They were shouting, Jews will not replace us.
And then video on those reports of that car crash you were looking at in Charlottesville.
President Trump's chief strategist, Steve Bannon, is now out.
Chief strategist Steve Bannon is out of a job.
Let me be clear. I may be resigning my seat, but I am not giving up my voice. I will continue to stand up for the things I believe in as a citizen and as an activist.
You can give up your voice. We're okay with it. Don't worry about it.
And we know, Al, that you're not actually leaving now. Now that Roy Moore is out, you're not leaving. You're not leaving. They're going to, you know what? I think he's paid his time. He's paid his dues. We're not going to. Al's not going to leave. That's, you know, that's craziness.
They are definitely trying to make that happen. They're trying to make that a thing. I don't know if it's going to work because
we'll see.
So far there's a few, like Kirsten Gillibrand seems to be the one leading all of this, and she's saying he should still resign. So we will see.
Yeah. It's amazing to think the you know, to go back and go, geez, it started with him arguing over the crowd size.
But like, that seems like it was 1985 to me.
Doesn't it?
That seems like it was so long ago. That was in this year you're currently in that happened.
When you see these were the topics last night on the TV show, and it, I brought the band back. So it was me and Jeff and Stu and Pat, and we talked about the year. Last night was politics. Tonight, find out what it is. I don't remember what it is. I think it might be culture tonight. Or no, it's I remember what it is. It's the world. It's what's happening in the world.
Okay.
International. It's overwhelming. And that's just one category. And that's not nearly everything.
Yeah. I mean, we could have easily done several shows just on, I mean, we could do a whole week just on politics and just the things that have happened.
That are pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah, really big.
Game-changing.
Really big issues. And you go back and you see, it's something you remember at the end of these years when you really reflect on how many of them are just frivolous nonsense. I mean, the idea that there was a month's worth of coverage about how big the crowd was at the stupid inauguration.
Yeah.
I mean,
so if you nonsense. Had to give, I said to you, give me the three biggest events politically that really mean something. Give me your three.
I think Neil Gorsuch would be one. I think the inability to repeal Obamacare is one. I think a real, you know, I think, I mean, because I could definitely could go, I'm torn on whether, obviously the James Comey thing was a big deal. And him getting fired was a big deal, and it leads into a lot of other things. A lot of them, though, tied into more world events. I mean, politically speaking, I think one of the most positive things of the year was Steve Bannon.
I didn't say positive. I said most impactful.
Right. I mean, Steve Bannon leaving the White House is a real positive.
That's a huge one.
So that's a big thing. So, I mean, the Comey thing is big, but it's so – we don't know where that's going yet. I mean, I probably would put Bannon in there. Potentially him leaving, I think, is a real.
That's two. Gorsuch, Bannon.
And not the inability to pass,
pass
withdraw or get rid of Obamacare.
Okay, so here's...
Now, the tax thing is supposed to, by the way, be voted on today. They're saying they think by tonight there's going to be a vote on the tax thing, which is big. And I will say it is related to healthcare. And the fact that they're getting rid of that individual mandate is a big deal. So, I mean, remember the skinny repeal? Remember how they went through that whole phase where they tried to repeal it a bunch of different ways?
Yeah.
And they basically fell off at the end. We're like, how about we just get rid of the individual mandate?
Which will cause it to collapse.
I'm very skeptical of the effects of this. I mean, the things that they are claiming is going to occur. For example, there are about 5 million people who are out of the people they say will leave their insurance plan when this mandate goes away. People who are under Medicaid, they're paying an average of $20 a month for this coverage. $20 a month, okay, for Medicaid coverage. They are saying 5 million people on Medicaid are going to get rid of their $20 a month coverage because the mandate's going away.
No, they won't.
That is not even remotely close to possible. Why on earth would that be an effect of this? These people who, I mean, you know, you have the average person doesn't understand how the mandate works. they're going to be like, oh, well, the individual mandate went away. You know, this one line in a huge tax reform plan, and they're all going to realize it and then all drop their $20 a month health insurance. I mean, it's insanity what they're claiming is going to happen with this. So I think it could have some effects. I think they're all secondary to the fact that the individual mandate is an unconstitutional disaster and should never have been approved by the Supreme Court in the first place.
Right. But you're still thinking, you're not thinking about, you know, the guy that you and I both were when we first met that could barely afford a gallon of gas, where we would go and we would count the quarters that we would have to be able to put gas in. You know, $20 a month is a lot for some people. It's a lot.
Well, for some people, of course it is. But you're telling me 5 million people are, again.
No, right, I'm saying what 5 million people.
5 million people understand this policy currently enough to understand exactly what the fee is going to be in their taxes they're going to pay at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then they're going to say, oh, okay, well, that fee won't be there. By the way, almost all of them would be exempt from it anyway. So these people who are exempt from the fee, when the fee is no longer law, are going to give up the insurance already paying for. It's insanity.
All right, I give.
And there's you know, millions of people in there as well who have other health insurance plans that are subsidized at a rate of 95%. Some of them have work benefits. So people have a job. These people are employed. They get insurance offered to them from their employer. Okay, they say yes to that. They want the insurance and they pay for it and they are paying for it right now. The theory from the CBO is when this law changes, people are going to say, well, now there's not a $500 penalty, so I'm just going to get rid of health insurance completely from my job that I currently work at that is offering it to me. Of course, that's not going to happen. It's crazy. So, I mean, some of the effects I think are overstated. And regardless, though, and this is a principle matter, this is a principle matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's freaking unconstitutional to force people to buy things they don't want.
Yes, it is.
And
but that wasn't what. But the question was, that wasn't even one of your three. But I'm glad
it
you
was
got
one
it
of my
your,
three.
No, you.
I said the inability to repeal Obamacare.
Oh, but I want to make sure you were tying it into the tax thing.
We were tying into the tax thing. We actually did get something here, and it's important to note. It's not nothing. It's a big deal, and it's the worst part of Obamacare.
So, if I had to say the three biggest things politically that happened this year, because I'm looking at things that will affect us for a long time, I would say Gorsuch is number one. That is, you know, assuming that he doesn't go like every single Republican or conservative goes on the court.
He's been great so far.
Mm-hmm. So assuming, you know, he doesn't go rogue, that is going to affect us for a very long time. That was great. I did not expect that to happen. That's huge and will affect us for a very long time. The second, because I would say the Russian hack and the Russian influence on both the Republican and Democrat is going to affect us for a very long time because we're not doing anything about it. But that leads me to the corruption in our own government on both sides. We're investigating Trump, but we're not investigating Hillary. We looked at Hillary's sins and, quite honestly, now Obama's sins on Uranium One of hiding testimony from Congress, and we just overlooked it. Now it looks like we're overlooking things in the Justice Department, and everybody is screaming fake news. I think the fake news thing that has happened this year, the ability for all of us on each side to cry fake news about the other side and actually reject critical thinking and say, no, this one is fake news. You know, on both sides, CNN, yes, this is what we mean by fake news. Donald Trump. It wasn't the biggest crowd ever. It didn't go back to the Washington Monument. It's okay. Let it go, man. That's fake news. The ability for us to trust anyone when we are facing... I had a senator write back to me yesterday, and because I wrote and I said, okay, so you have the money laundering of Hezbollah, and you got to look into that. What does that mean for Obama? However, you also have Debbie Wasserman Schultz And the guy who was the IT guy, the Pakistani and his family that is totally corrupt, we know something's going on. He had access to all of these Democrats on Capitol Hill. He was the IT guy for some unknown reason. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Democrats, many of them, not all of them, have been covering for this guy. It looks exactly like the Hezbollah operation that Politico just reported on. So I sent him that. I said, you know, what are you guys going to do about this? He said, well, what do you recommend? And I said, I don't know, because nobody's going to believe either side on this. Everybody's going to say fake news. That's the second thing I think that has happened this year that could mean the end of the Republic. If we don't figure out how to return to the truth, we're not going to make it. And the third thing that I would say is the biggest event of the year actually does the opposite of fake news. I think it actually buys us time. And that is the announcement on Jerusalem. If Donald Trump actually does move the embassy to Jerusalem, if it's not just empty words, but we actually move it, and it is critical that he moves it before he leaves office. Otherwise, it becomes the Bear Ears Monument. It means nothing.
He means the next president can change it.
Yeah.
What you're saying by that.
Yeah, you've got to move it. And by us taking a stand alone on Israel and the capital being Jerusalem, I think is a major event. But quite honestly, I mean, you look at those, that's two out of three that were good. What was yours? Two out of three good?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, Gorsuch, good. The lack of repealing Obamacare, I think, bad. Bannon leaving, I think, is a good change for the administration, though it's also, I think, an embarrassing, you know, part of their year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a good. I think it's a positive change, and, you know, we've had positive things that have happened since.
And it's the gone. Three that I have, two are rock solid.
Yeah, the Jerusalem
long-term
one,
good.
It is a really big one, too. I kind of put that in my head in the category of World Affairs, which is another show we're doing this week. That's the one tonight.
Tonight, World Affairs.
So we're going to be hitting that for sure then.
On the Blaze TV. Also, if you haven't watched the Blaze TV, or haven't subscribed, there is something that only subscribers get, and it is Story Time with Glenn. My son Rafe and I have been reading The Immortal Nicholas, and I don't even know what chapter we're up to now. 9, 10, I don't know. But it's not what you expect. It's not produced. It's just me and my son just reading it at home in our PJs. Every night we read a chapter or two, 30 minutes, read it with your family, or you can binge. We're going to finish on Christmas Eve. If you've been thinking about home security, now is the right time to buy it. Home security from SimpliSafe is the best protection, period. SimpliSafe has put together a massive security arsenal for your home. It's a special package that has been handpicked just for you. It has entry sensors. It has motion sensors, glass break sensors, everything that you need to stop any criminal from coming into your home. Right now, for the holidays, SimpliSafe giving you an incredible offer. Get $200 off this handpicked security package. Complete protection for your home. It's already the best value in home security with no contracts, no commitments. But right now, you'll get an extra $200 off this holiday security package. All you have to do is go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. The best security deal for your home that I think you're ever going to see. It's SimpliSafeBeck.com. Save $200 on SimpliSafe home security. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Earlier this hour, we talked to you about JoJo Hernandez. She's a girl. How old is she? 18? From Florida, and she was kicked out of her parents' house. She's a good kid, and don't want to, you know, disparage the parents at all, but she's working, and she's working at Walgreens, and she's just got this amazing story, and you're changing her life right now. And we'll tell you more about that coming up in just a few minutes, and somebody else's life that we would like to change. We'll talk a little bit about Bitcoin, which could also change your life. There's a lot of life changing going on next hour. Stand by.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Emma was curled up against the window as the world rushed past her. She let the train rock her to sleep. She wasn't asleep very long. She was violently shaken awake, looking around, looking out the window. Emma realized that her coach now was dangling at a steep angle toward the highway below. She remembers thinking it felt like the end of the world. Emma was a passenger on Amtrak train number 501 yesterday, just outside of Seattle. It was the inaugural run of a new service between Seattle and Portland. That's not a good omen. The train was doing about 80 miles an hour on a 30 mile per hour route when a 132-ton locomotive derailed and careened into traffic on Interstate 5, the Northwest busiest travel corridor. The wreck killed at least three people, injured more than 100. Emma was one of the lucky ones. President Trump was quick to politicize the accident, tweeting, "The train accident that just occurred in DuPont, Washington, shows more than ever why our soon-to-be-submitted infrastructure plan must be approved quickly. $7 trillion spent in the Middle East while our roads, bridges, tunnels, railways, and more crumble. Not for long," end quote. Am I the only one? Am I the only one that remembers that we already spent $1 trillion on those crumbling roads and bridges? We did that the last president. What happened? And by the way, Mr. President, I don't think you got the memo that the tracks where the accident occurred were brand new. They were the result of a recent infrastructure investment program. Today we're praying for the people affected by the train wreck. It's a devastating thing to lose a loved one this time of year. Let it serve as a reminder that tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Every single day is a gift that we're supposed to open, and every single day we're supposed to be a gift that others are excited to open.
It's Tuesday, December 19th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Give me an update, Stu, on JoJo. In fact, Sarah, if we have any, we have that audio of JoJo. This is JoJo Hernandez. She's a young girl from Florida that we just found out about over the weekend because somebody who knows her work, you know, comes in and shops at, where she work, Walgreens. Mm-hmm. She works at a Walgreens there in Florida, and somebody came in and heard her story, and they put a GoFundMe page together. So we checked it out. Listen to her tell her story.
One day, I came home after a sleepover, and all my stuff was packed up. It was 2 weeks before I turned 18. And my mom basically told me to have a great life and shut the door behind me. I'm currently living five doors down from my parents, paying $200 a month in rent, and sleeping on what basically was my grandfather's bed.
Though her options were limited, Joanya still managed to provide and prevail for her own life.
I'm trying to find jobs so that I can support myself now that I don't have my parents financially anymore. And people do stereotype me and define me just by this before they even ask me any interview questions. I've applied at easily over 45 locations, and I was lucky to get one job at Walgreens. And I'm trying to pick up a second one just so that I have somewhere to go at the end of the day to pay my rent and to pay my bills and my phone bill.
She is it.
It's just something I have to do.
So when she said, because of this, she was pointing to her face. She is disfigured from a birth defect. And it's hard to believe that we live in a time when people are still saying, oh, no. Especially when you look at her, it's not that bad. I mean, obviously she has scars on her face from something and, you know, something went on. But it's, you know, it's not like Phantom of the Opera. Not that that would make it any better, but still, it's bizarre.
I should also point out that, just as a sort of a side note, but Walgreens is made up of a lot of really good people. The people yeah. behind it are really good people, and that this does not surprise me that part of the story is that Walgreens acted correctly.
You remember meeting Kathy Walgreen?
Yeah.
Kathy Walgreen is a friend of mine, and I didn't know who she was. I didn't know she was Walgreen, you know?
Yeah.
You meet somebody and you're like, hey, it's Kathy Walgreen. You're like, ah, hey, Kathy, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. And she's just so down to earth and so great. And I said at one point to her, and I said, oh, by the way, I love your drugstore. And she said, thank you. And I was like, I was joking. That's really your... Yeah. She's like, yeah, well, you know, my grandfather started or something. And it was started by a guy who was a carpenter who wanted to change business and wanted to become a druggist. And so he made his own mortar pestle and carved it out of wood in the 1890s. And that's the beginning of Walgreens. And they're good people. They really are good people. And so hats off to Walgreens for helping this girl out. So the GoFundMe page was just started by a customer at Walgreens. And she doesn't even know that we're doing this, I don't think. She knew about the GoFundMe, but she didn't know that we were going to talk about it today. And she had to go to finals because she's in school, so she had finals today she had to do. And imagine going into work today, and you are worried about money, you're worried about all of these things, and you come out of work, and you're in a big meeting, so nobody can text you, nobody can call you. And a couple of hours later, you turn your phone back on and you have all these texts saying, you're not going to believe this. What's her bank account out now?
Yeah, she was hoping to raise
The customer was, she didn't do this.
Right, that's true.
The customer was hoping to raise $10,000 for her.
Right. She so far has raised $25,617.
And that's just in the last 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So... thank you for that. This audience is so great.
I mean, it's amazing. So many, you know, donations of $5, yeah. $10, and then some people $500 anonymous
people
donations.
Always have to show off. You know?
Wait, it's anonymous. How could they be showing off? It was an anonymous donation.
So great.
Very cool.
It's, what a great way to be involved, even if it's a dollar. In changing somebody's life.
And you can go at World of Stew on Twitter or at Glenn Beck at Twitter. It's also up at glennbeck.com.
Yep. And just follow the links there. So I got this letter in. Dear Glenn, I first started listening to you while you were on Fox. Before then, I didn't really pay attention to much of anything. I saw you on Fox one day, and what you said just made sense. Oh, you were the one. I've listened to you almost every day since. I mostly catch you on my drive home from work now. Things in the world have changed a lot since then. There's so many who have... digressed in society so much in so little time. There are few who have actually made any progress. You, sir, for me, you are a beacon of hope and light in a world that seems to become more dim every day. The reason why I'm writing this letter is because something happened in my life recently where I almost lost my wife and my child, whom I have neglected due to childish influences and things in my life that were still present from my childhood that almost consumed me. My wife was on the verge of leaving me and almost did. It really caused me to wake up. I have since done everything I could to change for myself, for her, my daughter, the change for God and the betterment of mankind. I remember your words from a few months ago when you said, now is the time to put your childish things away. Time to become a man and take a stand. For me and my family, it starts with God. I have slowly, but with full commitment, been changing my life for the better, especially where my wife and daughter are concerned. I love my wife and try to prove it to her every day and will for the rest of my life and for all eternity. I will become the better man that she expects of me. If I may, I would like to ask, if it's not too much, I would forever be in your debt if you would read this letter on the air and ask my wife, Charity Murphy, if she would be willing to remarry me again so we can start a new life together with our daughter. Jared, no, I'm not going to do that.
Such a nice moment you ruined. Wow, that's a really cool story.
So Jared, let us know what happens.
Yes.
I'm assuming that she is going to say, oh, yes, yes. Hopefully she's listening to us when she says that.
That would be most appropriate.
Mm-hmm. It would be very inappropriate if it was...
something else, right? I really hope that goes well. I always get nervous about those things because I have no idea whether she should just be right now. I'm really not interested, actually.
Yeah, do you remember years ago we called somebody? We did something like that and we called somebody. And remember? And she was like, no, I don't think so. Yeah. It was the most, because he was, yeah. Do you remember this?
Yeah, it was
a long time ago. I don't remember what it was, but he was so excited and he thought she was in love and it was all going to, and she was not having it. Oof, it was bad. It was so awkward. I felt so bad for that guy.
Because there's two things going on there. One, I don't necessarily, want whatever you're asking me to happen. And two, I'm annoyed you're embarrassing me in front of the nation.
Yeah.
Both of those things could be part of the equation.
That's happening for you, Jared. That's all good stuff.
We assume there's hugging,
kissing.
And, wow, this is what a great moment.
Oh, my gosh, this is so beautiful. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. And if not, we don't want to hear what happened.
We don't. Please don't hold us.
We're going to assume it went well.
Call our attorneys, okay? Deal with them.
Yeah.
Did you hear, speaking of attorneys, did you hear of the football player that invested $3 million in Bitcoin? NFL player that invested $3 million in Bitcoin in 2013.
Good heavens.
Worth $276 million.
Who is this?
Look it up.
Yeah,
I don't know his name. I don't know his name. Yeah, there is a rest of the story.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no. It's being revealed by the headline here.
Give me the name and then I'll tell you the story. The rest.
Oh, Darren McFadden. Yeah. Okay. Former, until very recently on the Dallas Cowboys.
So here's the rest of the story. Actually, he told his financial advisor to invest $3 million in Bitcoin, but his business investor apparently thought, that's stupid and he's going to lose it anyway, so I'll just take it.
That's not a thing you could do as a financial advisor.
No, it's really not. Not a good bet. He's going to lose it all, so I'll just take it.
In case you're a financial advisor and thinking, wow, that's a great idea, I should try that. No, you can't try that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you this, Stu.
So what happened?
Nothing so far. He's out. He has nothing.
I mean, obviously, there's a lawsuit.
Oh, yeah, there's a lawsuit, but who has $270 million?
Yeah, even if he gets the original three back at this point, he's probably lucky.
I mean, if it's a company like Raymond James, maybe you could sue them.
It's not. It doesn't seem to be. Obviously, Raymond James is, this is a big financial institution, probably not.
Oh, really?
First of all, what? Oh, really, what? I doubt they're stealing people's money. Yes, considering, I would say that I'm going to be highly skeptical of that one.
You know, it's funny. I had a Raymond James advisor that was handling my money, and they were supposed to transfer my money to another firm. And I found out just this week that 3 years ago, I was completely clear. My new financial advisor, completely clear, transfer everything over. I just got a note saying, oh, by the way, I'm the new advisor on this account, and what do you want to do with this money? And they didn't transfer it for some reason, and they don't seem concerned by it.
Well, not transferring is a lot different than investing it into a Bitcoin scam.
Oh, yeah, no, that is a difference, but it's still like, why didn't you transfer that? What have you been doing with it? How come you didn't transfer it? Why? You just you were like, I think I got that other in the other suit. I think I put that in the other pocket.
That's kind of a terrible scam, isn't it, though? If you just don't transfer it and you just say, so what, you just have your money in a different
account? Yeah, I think
account?
It's a terrible, I mean, I don't know if it was just a horrible, horrendous oversight, but nobody seems, Raymond James, nobody seems to be concerned about it at all. I know I am.
Well,
I know I'm very concerned about it, but they don't seem to be concerned.
Well,
so,
interesting. I would think this would be a really bad time to get news like this if you're Darren McFadden, because he just got released like from the Cowboys, what was it, 3 weeks ago maybe? So here's a guy who went through, I mean, he's been had a lot of injury problems, so he's been in that situation where he's earned a decent amount of cash, but now is in that area where he's had so many injuries. This is really his last chance probably in the league.
Oh, man.
So
what
now
would you do?
You he's what out of that do? Big job and doesn't have those millions of dollars.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine sitting here watching Bitcoin? You're like, I've got $3 million. I put it in 2013. And you call your advisor and you're like, huh? I calculate 276 million big ones. I calculate a quarter of a $1 billion. What is it really? I didn't invest it. Oh my gosh. That is probably the worst ripoff of any celebrity I have ever heard of.
Now, of course, the documentary Rocky V told
it's
the story
not a document. No, it's not
of
a...
how Pauly
during
gave power
the,
of attorney to
during the holiday shopping during this season. It is really difficult if you're doing it from your mobile device, which I've done almost all of mine. Retailers expect a 54% holiday shoppers increase on the mobile device. That 54% are all of us are going to be doing it on our mobile. How much shopping have you actually done in the store? Well, scammers see this, and they see this as an opportunity to take your credit card, your personal information. They put out bogus retail apps. Be really careful on the apps that you use. Here's the thing. 1 in 4 people have their identity stolen from them. Now, if you're just monitoring your credit, that's only one way. Your identity can be stolen and used in ways you can't even detect. Thieves could sell your information on the dark web. Once it's out on the dark web, it is out. They can take a pay loan out in your name. They can take your 401k. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, not just to your credit. And if there is a problem, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions, but LifeLock is the best. Get 10% off now with promo code Beck. Go to LifeLock.com. Call the promo code Beck. When you do that, you'll get 10% off now. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
You know, I have to tell you, Stu does this to me every day. Stu's the executive producer of this program, and I'll say to him, first thing I come in, Stu, I've got something. We have to talk about the UFO thing.
Yep.
It's 2 days in a row. Have to talk about the UFO thing. Because I've got a theory on this, and I think it's a pretty good theory. And he's like, okay, I'll remind you. And then I keep reminding him during the show, hey, we're going to get to that. And then we get to this point, and we don't. Jeffy's coming in a couple of minutes, which will discredit anything with UFOs, anything at all.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's true. When Jeffy's involved, usually the topic
you have
will
to hear my theory on. I think I have a pretty good theory.
In all seriousness, if there's a person who is more associated with UFOs in this company more than Jeffy, I don't think I know who it is. Jeffy's a big UFO guy, big
anal probe guy. Wait,
did you? So,
but there's a couple of things going on, and I have asked for the head of the Pentagon's UFO, you know, that program that the New York Times.
Oh, I bet they're rushing to get here to get on the air with you.
Well, we'll see. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe. Otherwise, I spill the beans.
So you're claiming that you know the answer, or you just have a stupid theory that you're trying to pawn off on people and hoping someone will support you? Because Jeffy will believe any theory. He's the perfect guy for this segment.
Yeah, I don't have any hope that they'll support my theory.
Okay.
But I think I have a pretty good just observation. Let's put it that way. Not a theory, just an observation. I'm just observing what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's concerning to me.
Okay.
Just saying. So, okay. You know, we could have done that. We'll have to do that on tomorrow's program.
I have been asking all day.
Yes.
That we talk about the story about the women who are worried about the Me Too movement.
Why don't you talk about it right now?
But there's like 10 seconds. There's like 10 pages of
stuff.
Oh,
see how it feels?
But I couldn't
see
get to
how
the end
it feels.
We'll do this tomorrow, too.
Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Tomorrow is our last broadcast for the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's our Christmas special. You don't want to miss it. We are doing television all this week. I brought the band back. Pat, Stu, Jeffy. At 5 o'clock, and we're talking tonight. It is about what's happened in the world over the last year. Last night was politics, the year in politics. Tomorrow is cultural. And then I think on Thursday is a year of technology.
Yeah. Each day takes your breath away.
Oh, good God. It's
each day takes your breath away. I mean, I know you played the montage earlier, it's just like a deep breath of, wow, that was a year.
It is amazing, and so are you.
For those who are expecting Pat Gray
at
this time, filling in for Pat this week is Jeff Fisher,
boo.
Which is kind of like going to see Wicked, and you're expecting to see, what's her name, Idina Menzel or whatever.
Menzel, whatever her name is,
you know, as the, what's her name, Glinda? No, Elphaba. You get there and you're all excited. You've saved up. You bought that ticket. You traveled to New York. You're so excited. You can't wait. And Ernest Borgnine is filling in for her that night.
I'll have you know, calling me Ernest Borgnine is not an insult. He's an accomplished film and television actor. Rest in peace.
Yeah, you're right. It would be like them announcing playing the role of Elphaba tonight is Ernest Borgnine's wart. So
it's a fair point.
But yeah. I have a couple things, you know, since I'm filling in for Pat. But gee, Glenn, I really want to hear about the UFO theory.
No, I'm not
you
telling
have.
You. Get
oh
out.
No, no, you Get have plenty there. Of time to do the UFO
I'm not
theory
doing
now.
With him?
Why not? Jeffy's very interested.
I
in
am
UFOs.
A big. Are you telling us about the Oumuamua ship that's flying through? You know, the.
Oh yeah, no, that sounds credible.
They say that it's just an asteroid.
Uh-huh.
But it could be a spaceship flying through our galaxy.
What are you talking about?
You don't even... Oh, go ahead with your theory. You don't even
know. No.
I'm very interested in your theory, though.
No,
I want to give your theory to the people.
Right, okay.
No, I
want... Here's what I'm... Can you just zip the pie hole for a second? So, first of all, New York Times did a big expose on the money that we have spent on tracking down UFOs. Lots of money.
Yeah. And Harry Reid, the big guy getting earmarks for millions and millions of dollars to investigate UFOs because he's interested in them. That's where the money was coming from.
Isn't that great?
Harry Reid.
So millions of dollars spent on UFOs. Now, I would hope, but I have no faith. I would hope that somebody in the government would say, you know, guys, you know, we've spent too much on the UFO thing if we don't think that there's UFOs. And I do think that it's, as Carl Sagan said, an incredible waste of space if we're alone. And the video that the New York Times released, did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Where
off the coast of California?
Yeah,
San Diego,
and there's
yes.
And they, I mean, it's seen by military, tracked by military, and you can see it. It's spinning. It has no. Doesn't have wings.
Definitely is an unidentified flying object.
As they say, it had no source, visible source of propulsion. I mean, it's look at what the new secret plane is from Boeing. They just released the pictures of it today. It still kind of looks like a plane, and it is our super, super futuristic plane. Okay, it doesn't look like that. Look at that thing.
Yeah, we're showing the video here on Blaze TV.
It's a round, it's everything that you've ever seen in the movies. Okay, it's just a round disc. Now, is this aliens? I don't know. Is it Russia? Do they have the money to be doing this stuff? Technology? No. If anybody's doing this, it's us. Would you agree?
You'd think so, yeah.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe this is us and it's a new, you know, wingless, round, you know, let's freak everybody out and pretend we're aliens plane. So maybe that's possible.
That's a technical term for it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, yes. But it looks intense. Now, do you remember the story? I'm going to get to the point here. One more thing. Do you remember the story about the new planet or the asteroid? Some people said it was an asteroid. Some people said it was a planet. And it was out past Pluto. Okay? And they found this planet. Some people say that it's an asteroid coming to hit us. Okay. I believe it's a planet. Did you see that last week NASA announced that we're going to Mars. We're going to be at Mars 2025. We're going to be up at Mars 2025. Elon Musk, we got to be on Mars in 2025. Got to be there. Now, Elon Musk says because the human race is doomed. And if we're not up there by 2025, that we're not going to live. Is there a possibility? It's just an observation. Is there a possibility that, like, they're not telling us everything? Like, there's like some Noah's Ark thing that we're never going to get the call for. But, like, all of a sudden, if we start to see our scientists and our doctors and our mathematicians and, you know, the artists of the world and the important people all of a sudden just disappear. You know, and they're like, hey, guys, we're all just going to go to Mars for a couple of weeks. We'll be back. No big deal. Don't worry about it. It's an ark. They're building an ark.
The worst thing is if you don't get the call and you realize Jeffy's missing, you're like, oh, my, they took Jeffy?
Jeffy?
They left me behind?
I can guarantee there will not be fat guy seating on that ark.
No.
No.
So I will not go.
That's true.
I can promise you that.
Yeah, no, there's not going to be. No, they will not have the extended seatbelt.
No way they have that. No, I need a seatbelt extender. No, what you need is to get off.
So wouldn't it be horrible if you were selected as one of the people and they're like, okay, we're going to bring you into confidence here. Big asteroid coming our way and aliens are coming and they're going to rape us all first. And then an asteroid's going to slam into the planet and you're all dead. You'll be raped and then you'll all be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But lucky for you, you're going to be on the ark. You're going to Mars with us.
Nice.
But you have to pass this vomit test first. We just got to put you through the spinny thing to see if you vomit, because space ride, you're going to do a lot of vomiting, and we can't have a lot of people vomiting on the ship. And you couldn't go because you were vomiting. You'd be like, dude, I've got to. They'd have to kill you, because they can't just then say,
you can't go.
You can't go. So you better hope that you don't vomit when the spinny thing happens to you.
If you get asked to go on the ark, don't vomit.
Don't vomit on the spinny thing.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
If you learn anything today from any media source, if you have to get on the spinny thing, don't vomit. I'll
tell you something. Rush Limbaugh is not telling you this stuff.
No,
I'm telling you this stuff right now.
There's a reason for that.
You need to be. You need to be at every carnival this year, getting your body used to the spinning.
Right.
Or not. Or you could go a different direction with
right.
your life.
And just forget about what's happening in Mars.
You could probably
yes.
do that.
It couldn't be that Harry Reid just milked the government for millions for his state of Nevada area 50.
No, but
52,
don't, seriously,
54.
I don't actually think there's an ark being built. But I do think it's curious to me that and only because Elon Musk says, hey, the human race is going to be in trouble in 2025. It's just curious to me that an agency like NASA that was moving away. I mean, they were like making NASA toothbrushes. You know, it's like, what do we stand for anymore? I don't know. We haven't done anything in space in a long time. Let's tell the Muslim world how great they are. All of a sudden, they're like, you know, giddy up. We got to be in 10 years, less than 10 years. We got to be on Mars. That's just weird.
It is kind of interesting.
It is a little bit. It is a little bit. So will you be talking alien issues on
I certainly am
Unleashed
now.
Today?
I certainly am now. I'm excited to be there. Yeah. We may also be talking, well, there is an alien that opens today at Disney World. It was closed for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
But it opens today.
It is.
And that's the new President's Hall, the Hall of Presidents.
Yeah, I thought it was actually
Disney
pretty good.
World.
I thought it was actually pretty good.
And
you went?
Well, no, but they showed the video. It opens today. And there's the audio and video of George Washington throwing it to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
We have that, the beginning of it anyway, because it talks about 35 words that each president can say.
Yeah.
And this is how it starts.
Yeah. 35 simple words that have been repeated by every American president throughout history.
That's George Washington.
Is that I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
I could only make it seven. Anyway, that's it. I couldn't take the 35. I could, but it looks like it looked. I don't know.
It doesn't look like him. It's weird.
No,
you know,
it doesn't.
You know, it's what they call the uncanny valley. That there is something repulsive about robotics and artificial life.
Well, when we try
this
to make
point,
it,
yeah. there's this. Yeah. You're close, but you're not there. So it's almost repulsive. And he doesn't even look like him. Look, he looks cross-eyed. And the only thing they have accurate is that his tie is too long.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the only thing that they have accurate.
I mean, the socials went crazy. You know, and plus they showed pictures of if you're thinking about jumping on the stage, because you know people are going to try to jump on stage and try to destroy that in today's world. They put spikes up on the stage so that people can't jump up on
really?
Stage. Yeah.
The resistance will be there to pull down the Donald Trump doll.
Wait. Is this really?
That's what I'm told. That's what they were showing pictures
for the first time.
There are spikes up there, yeah, so that you can't jump up on stage. That's what's being
reported. You know
what?
Can I tell you something?
It opens today, so I don't know that that's actually true, but that's what was being reported.
You know how many times I went and I saw Obama over the last 8 years have to give the closing speech? This is my favorite thing in Disney. I love the Hall of Presidents.
Right.
I force my family to go see. They're like, let's go see Soarin'. We're seeing the Hall of Presidents. And so we go. I sat through that. Nobody, I wouldn't have even thought of,
right.
I would have stopped somebody
Absolutely.
From jumping up. Now they have to put spikes up. From whom? The evil right?
No, of course, the evil right.
Obviously the resistance, right?
And they also I found it interesting that they shut it down for 6 months and they had a Hillary and a Trump bill. So I want, what happened to the Hillary?
She's running in 2020. She's
more lifelike.
More lifelike, more likable. They've crossed the uncanny valley.
Jeffy is in for Pat Gray on Pat Gray Unleashed today. You can check it out at the Blaze Radio and Television Networks or get the podcast at iTunes.
Your mortgage rate depends on a ton of stuff. The global economy, the loan that you choose, how many points you pay, you know, the other variables that can add cost, a property type, you know, just a bunch of stuff. So you need to have pre-approval. If you're a home buyer, you need to seek mortgage pre-approval and guidance before making any offer on a home. Plus, if you're a veteran and you haven't used your VA benefits, interest rates are really low. They are going up. Now is the time to get a new home or to refinance your old home. Great way to get started is by talking to the salary-based mortgage experts at American Financing. And with American Financing, you get a straightforward and effortless mortgage experience. These people are really, really good. It's a family-owned and operated business, been in business for a very long time. They weathered the 2008 storm like champs because they weren't selling all these crazy loans that the bank was trying to talk everybody into. They didn't do it to their customers. Their customers survived. American Financing. Finding the best mortgage for you. 800-906-2440. 800-906-2440. Or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation. NMLS 182334. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Couple of quick updates for you. Apparently, Jared Twitchell, who is a listener of ours, asked if we would ask his wife to remarry him. They've been having some problems and just got word that she said yes.
Christmas miracle.
Yes.
There you go. Awesome.
Another Christmas miracle.
Now, of course, if she said no, we would not tell you. So,
yeah.
because then it would totally ruin the segment. Also, JoJo Hernandez. She was, if you listened to the show earlier today,
She is a teenager who was kicked out of her house, and she's been trying to find a job, and she has had difficulty with that for...
Straight-A student. She's disfigured on her face, and so people don't even like to, do job interviews with her, apparently, and it's kind of a sad story, but she's an amazing kid.
Yeah, really ridiculous that wouldn't happen. But so she didn't want to raise any money. A customer at Walgreens, where she works, decided to start a GoFundMe page for her. They wanted to raise $10,000. We talked about it to you, made you aware of it, and as this audience always does, steps up and have now raised. She wanted they were hoping for $10,000. She now has $31,778.
Unbelievable!
And it's been an hour.
Yeah.
Who knows where that ends up? But it's just a really cool thing.
Yeah. So thank you for that. A couple of other updates. Tomorrow is our Christmas program. It'll be the last program of the year. We don't want you to miss it. And saw Star Wars last night. I think it's solid. It's not my favorite. The last 45 minutes are really good. I would say it is my fourth or fifth favorite out of the eight. But it's good. It's good. It's just not, it's not like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. It's just a good, solid Star Wars. The last 45 minutes really make it.
Yeah. And I'm very excited. There's a lot of movies out to see. There's been basically one or two movies all year I wanted to see, and now there's about 10 out at the same time.
Yeah, I know.
Which always happens. I am going to abuse my MoviePass. If you are a MoviePass stockholder,
yes.
Now's the time to sell, because I'm going to go to 5,000 movies over this next vacation.
Yeah, me too. Are you going to go see Darkest Hour?
Yeah, I really want to. That's the Winston Churchill movie. I pitched it to my wife. I said, "You want to go to Dark? I want to go see the Darkest Hour. Do you want to go?" She said, "What's that about?" And I said, "World War II." She said, "Oh, sounds awful." That was her response.
Yeah. So that was Tanya. Tanya honestly just went because I really wanted to see it, and she was like, "What is this movie again?" I was like, "It's Winston Churchill." Okay.
Right.
She loved it. She loved it. It's
excited.
A masterpiece. See it and then see it again. You're gonna love it.
Really?
Yeah. You're going to love it.
I saw there was another Churchill movie out earlier this year called Churchill, which was okay. It wasn't great. This one I'm hearing is a lot better.
No, this one is. This one brings him to life. Gary Oldham is remarkable in this movie. He becomes Churchill. And the story, even all the stuff that I know about World War II, all the stuff I know about Churchill, I did not know this part of the story. His Darkest Hour, it's powerful. It is really powerful. So go see Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
It's in my book. I'd have to review everything in my mind, but I think I could safely say it's the movie of the year for me.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow on Radio 5 o'clock tonight. Year in review, only on theblaze.com/TV.
Glenn Beck.